Welcome to Customer Value Performance Momentum, a talk show brought to you by ClearAction Continuum. Please visit clearaction.com to get acquainted with the ClearAction Value Exchange, a membership to take your customer experience, customer success, customer care, customer engagement, and marketing teams to the next level of job satisfaction and strategic impact. It's 24/365 professional development in small bites for on-the-go access and real-time solutions to your job challenges in connecting the dots, improving efficiency and scalability, gaining cross-organizational collaboration, and influencing your company to be more innovative and nimble through customer intelligence. Take a look at clearaction.com and join us today.
I'm your host, Helene Eichler. Join us to stay up on trends and best practices for marketing thought leaders that fuel organizations' current and future marketing effectiveness. We're excited to have Cheryl Root, Associate Professor, Software Management at Carnegie Mellon University's Integrated Innovation Institute, and Gary Katz, Chief Marketing Officer of the Future Forum, with us to discuss the difference between agile marketing and marketing agility, and how organizations can benefit from both. Welcome, Cheryl and Gary.
Hi, Elaine.
Thank you for having us.
Great. Cheryl, I want to start with you. What is the difference do you see between agile marketing and marketing agility?
That's a very basic, simple point. Agile marketing is really a methodology or a discipline, sometimes called a practice. Where marketing agility is the outcome. What you want as a result of applying an agile marketing discipline is that your marketing team has flexibility and nimbleness in responding to customers and being able to be collaborating and working as a team.
Great. Gary, I'm going to ask you the same thing. Anything to add?
Well, I think Cheryl did a really great job describing it, and I think that people get confused that agile marketing is an end in itself, and really it's a way to be agile as an organization through a methodology, through a commonly understood practice that everybody gets behind. One of the things about marketing agility that is really important, Cheryl definitely hit the nail on the head. People usually think about things like speed and responsiveness and nimbleness and that type of thing. And, you know, from a customer standpoint, certainly that is extremely important. Also, there are emerging opportunities that show up in organizations that we can't really plan for because the world is so dynamic. And so being able to respond quickly, decisively, transparently to emerging opportunities is another sign of agile. Also, or marketing agility, I should say, just to be clear. Also, how the organization learns. And how well it learns as an organization, as opposed to individuals, is really key. A lot of times, organizations just don't know how to learn a lesson. Thus, we have the kind of issues like groupthink that people talk about. But I don't know if people always totally understand what groupthink is. I like the analogy of the Abilene paradox to describe groupthink. There was this group of cowboys, and they were in a town in Texas, and they were really bored. It was late at night. They didn't have much to do. And they were going around the circle trying to figure out, okay, what the heck am I going to do? What are we going to do tonight? It's so boring. We're not ready to, go back to our homes. We want to be away from the wives a little bit longer. What do we do? So they're all sitting around the circle and they're just, struggling with coming up with ideas. And finally, somehow the idea comes that they could go to Abilene. So they all go to Abilene, which is a couple towns over. And they're at Abilene and they're bored and they're unhappy and they can't figure out why they're at Abilene. But they went there, and that's groupthink. So marketing agility is really the tonic against going in that groupthink direction, and learning from experience is really the key here.
Great.
Yeah.
How do you see organizations leveraging agile marketing to be more effective and efficient? Cheryl.
Well, one thing is that as we're producing products nowadays, the agile development process is very dynamic and very responsive to the customer, where if you don't have a marketing that responds to that type of development, you have the difficulty of waterfall approach to marketing, where the product is coming out in iterations and trying to respond to the customer more directly. So when I see people making it work the best, it's agile marketing is about a continuous process with the focus clearly on the customer and a team perspective. And it's the ability to respond to change over just following a plan. It's repeated and rapid iterations over some big bang campaign kind of thinking. It's testing and data over conventions or silos. And it's experiments instead of a few large bets. In other words, you tend to do things quickly. And it doesn't mean you're doing things faster, but you're doing things with priority. You're doing things with an ability to look at incoming requests of change and being able to respond to them against the prioritized base. So, it's individuals that interact versus, target markets and big, huge kinds of market campaigns. And it's collaborations and team building over silos and hierarchy. But it's really about understanding that customer problem and being able to communicate a valued solution as it becomes dynamic and responsive, and making it consumable along the lines of what Gary said at the outset.
Great. And Gary, how do you see organizations leveraging marketing agility to be more effective and efficient? And how might that play into some of the comments that we've just heard from Cheryl?
Well, certainly Agile can be part of that whole play. I see Agile marketing as a subset of marketing agility. And I did want to, before I talk more about marketing agility, I did want to amplify some of the things that Cheryl said and maybe build upon it. I think that Agile marketing is very good for focusing teams of people and prioritizing them. And I think that it works very well when you have a defined project of some kind or a campaign or something like that that has a beginning and an end to it, because you are trying to mobilize your resources together, pushing in the same direction with this great collaboration and continuity and power as possible. With respect, and of course the experimentation thing, I think is really big in marketing. We are increasingly asked to do not the big bang, but to be able to test as we go and iterate and make course corrections based on what we learn from the data. And so Agile is a very good approach for that. I've seen it used very well in marketing campaign management. I've certainly seen it work very well in various types of deployment type of initiatives. For example, with marketing technology, using Agile can be very useful, or incorporating more analytics discipline into an organization. The approach you take to that, again, gets people being able to learn as they go, and you get feedback that you can then respond to and adjust to. In terms of marketing agility, I like to think of it in two ways. One is it's a focus on having really good business intelligence or insight that's actionable in nature rather than just data. A lot of times we have plenty of data, too too much data. We may not have all the data we need, or maybe we have it, but we can't find it or we can't act upon it. So being able to understand the insight that we have and being able to make a decision that's transparent, that makes sense, that has, that's been socialized, that has buy-in associated with it, raising underlying assumptions and mental models that usually don't come up when, there are silos in the decision-making process. Maybe an individual is just making decisions because they've been granted the authority or the expertise and nobody else knows enough, you know, to ask any questions that may possibly change the decision, and the action in a somewhat different direction or maybe a completely different direction. So these types of things, I think, are really important. And this is also goes back to the ability to learn. I think, we started hearing a lot about the concept of learning organizations late 1980s, early 1990s. One of my favorite books is Peter Senge's The Fifth Discipline that introduces, five disciplines that are required for a learning organization. One of them is team learning, which I referred to before. Systems thinking is kind of the ultimate, the fifth discipline. A lot of times we don't think in systems because we're all breaking down what we have to do and all the components that we, the complexity that we have to deal with into small parts, but then we're not understanding how those small parts impact one another as a system. And so, those two things in particular, and then you add in mental models as the third of those five disciplines, the other two being shared vision and personal mastery. And then you have an organization that is operating with very high levels of maturity and is able to learn from experience. It's able to make adjustments. It knows who it is and who it isn't and operates within its integrity. And so I think that's what we're really looking for. That, to me, is marketing agility, is being able to make the type of decisions quickly and transparently, learn from experience, and operate within integrity.
Great.
Let me add something to that. Understanding what Agile is about, I think, is important. And one of the things that goes along with Agile is that stress on learning from experience and then being able to adapt. In an Agile development team, they typically have what are called stand-up meetings, and the team gets together weekly, and they answer questions. And those three questions are, what did I do yesterday or last week, depending on the frequency of the meeting? What am I doing this week or today? And what are the barriers that are in the way that we can get out of the way? And so they do that every time they have a meeting with the team, which provides shared learning, learning from what went wrong as well as what's going right, clearing the way to make today's execution really work well. And I think that that's one of the benefits that moves into marketing when you have diverse silos trying to work on a product launch, so to speak. They've got to be able to share and reprioritize instead of a waterfall method to a market program. They become iterative and cycle through and are able to make decisions quickly and see what the issues are and get them out of the way before they pop up. And what's really great is that by doing this, they can adapt to the change more quickly when a change request comes in or a requirement from a customer or some information that says we need to adapt and be more flexible. Because that team is communicating regularly, they have the opportunity to respond to that much more effectively.
I would add two things to that. That is really great, Cheryl. Thank you. I would add that the process provides some personal empowerment for the people to be able to say what they need within the context of the group in order to be successful. And secondly, accountability to themselves
right.
and to everybody else in the team.
Exactly.
Excellent. All great, great points. And that dovetails my next question, which What are some successful examples of agile marketing in action? Cheryl, do you want to lead off?
Sure. Some that I've seen and worked with, Cisco is certainly applying agile marketing. Adobe is, LinkedIn is, and you can see that they are becoming more responsive to their customer base. And as well, their products are hanging together better in terms of customer effectiveness and solving problems. So I think what's happening out there. They're seeing how to adopt it, and they're adopting it in small ways so that they focus within a particular area, a particular launch, or a particular kind of product. For example, one of the ones at LinkedIn, the challenge, not LinkedIn, this is Adobe, was they had a product launch, and there were 73 unique search engine optimization projects in this pack. And so what they finally did was they pulled the team together, the marketing team together. They listed and categorized all the projects and spoke to what were the outputs or the outcomes of each of those so they could understand. They then looked at the shared information, and then they prioritized the projects. And each team member was involved in assigning that prioritization, which gets to what Gary talked about, which was accountability, as well as the ability to empower and say, well, this is what I think. Then they defined what was the revenue impact for the projects, and they categorized them as high, medium, low. They didn't try to go into some specific number, but what's the impact? And then they looked at each project as relative to size. You know, is this big and massive? Is it more complex for the user? And so forth. Then they assign owners to those and a completion date. When they got through, they had a high-prioritized project list that was quickly able to be transferred into smaller project plans as opposed to one big, huge planning effort. They've got small project plans against the high-prioritized projects that are linked together. They're reviewed in these weekly sprint meetings, as I described earlier, so that they know what was coming next, what happened with the last set, make some quick adaptive moves. If there was a problem in the previous week that they learned something about, they could quickly adjust. So the benefits then became a higher responsiveness to content updates in that process of those review cycles, and thus a more effective product. They had excellent results against the business unit goals because the team was driven by the business unit goals, not their silos. And they did something which I consider to be very important, and that's the retrospective, what worked, what didn't, and what's applicable, you know, to the future. That postmortem, people forget that part, and they forget that, yes, there's failures along the way, but if you're learning from them and you're saying, how can we do this better then, or how can we adjust, then you get into the cycle of continuous improvement, and people get energized by that. It's like I was talking with Gary earlier this morning. It's like a good tennis game. You learn when you're being really challenged by a good opposition there that makes you think through the problem, play a better game, learn what your mistakes were, and benefit from them by becoming better on the next round. And because you're doing it incrementally, the team can absorb it better and hold on to it better. So that was one of the elements at Adobe. I'll let Gary maybe have some thoughts on that. And then I'll talk about another one.
Oh, wow. Well, a really impressive example. Some smaller companies are also using both agile and a marketing agility mindset to do things very differently. You know, the type of companies that come to mind are companies like New Relic and also Marketo. Marketo is doing a really good job of using their own products to create an agile organization that's very responsive to their customers. They've built incredible loyalty amongst their users, despite how difficult the product might be to use, and increasingly difficult because it's got so much capability. But one of the things Marketo has done is really, very clearly define all the things that it needs to use its product successfully, and role model that, and provide that as examples to its customer base. You know, they are their number one case study. They drink their own champagne. Some companies would say that they eat their own dog food. But Marketo, John Miller, when he was there, one of the founders of Marketo, used to say, yeah, we drink our own champagne. He didn't like the dog food.
I like that one.
But you know what they, you know what they're doing is, you know, they've really, you know, realized the importance of content. The, you know, the decision-making process that a customer has to go through in order to buy something, which has changed dramatically, you know, over the last several years. You know, now we, you know, the person that you know that you used to be able to buy from, now there's a 6 to 24 person buying committee that's invisible, maybe even to them. You know, and so, you know, to be able to champion something in organizations today with the level of scrutiny and accountability and, you know, and potential shareholder litigation and so on that's out there is very difficult. And so, you know, companies like Marketo and New Relic are very carefully tracking you know, everything that they do. They're demonstrating the payback from what they do. They're determining, you know, what they think is going to happen, building a really strong business case, and then checking against the business case and being able to prove what they've accomplished, which obviously increases their credibility in the C-suite. It makes their CMO look better and have more clout. They're using data, you know, to make decisions and to support business cases. And that data isn't just any old data. It's data that's very well thought through. It's tied to enterprise strategic objectives. So the marketing objectives are thus cascaded down from the enterprise strategic objectives. And when you have that type of thing going on, marketing doesn't become, you know, a necessary evil or a mouthpiece, you know, for the company, so to speak. It becomes an influencer on the direction that the company goes and the right. opportunities that it chooses to pursue and the types of customers and partners that it chooses to work with and the experience that the customer ultimately has, which is the biggest challenge and the biggest opportunity of all right now, is CMOs are being asked either to step up and own the customer experience or at least support the C-level executive that's responsible for that in the organization. And if you don't do that, then you don't have integrity, which is what I was talking about before. You have messages that don't resonate with how the company actually performs when they are touched by the company and so many possible ways.
I think those are really good observations, Gary, because I think what you're speaking to is that is when marketing agility is really seen in action. I think that you have the ability to be that responsiveness and be more strategic. And we're finding that the marketing teams are becoming more engaged with not only the development team, but the strategy team. They work across many fronts now, and they are the person that pulls all the pieces together. It's not just a collateral producing organization or a brand management, but rather it's how you relate to the customer and how the company responds to the customer and all the pieces pulling together. I think when I looked at another example was this one with Cisco, where they had several acquired companies, and there was an executive director that came out, we've got to make our company look as one from a market point of view so our customer doesn't get confused, and they were given 6 months to do that. What they did was they created this cross-functional team, and every 2 weeks they would have a sprint. They didn't do it once a week. They had thought that might be a little bit challenging for the diversity of the organizations, and but they had this continued learning and the intent to be having agility in the marketplace and not be constrained because there was so many different units inside of Cisco. So they used a shared platform to look at how all the pieces came together. They had some real good modeling and real good graphics that they used to show what the outcome looked like. So people knew where they were going and why they were going there, which is really important, because then they could really be empowered to focus on the how do we get there. So they went through this over a period of time using agile methods, trying to look at our outcome is always to be responsive to the customer. It's always to be nimble, but it's always keeping that customer in focus. And so the benefits that they got from using that just to simply do a merging, if you will, of the companies without losing the competency that each one of those brought to the company, that all the practices, all the best practices then were incorporated and they were aligned to the CEO and the marketing vision. And the marketing vision became stronger and became more of the strategy now that guides the company. In addition, their marketing efforts were on time and under budget, and they've got some statistics that they share, but I can't publicize it. I do it for my classes. Come to my class.
That is awesome. So I hear much better strategy execution. I hear being able to be make customer cent true customer centricity. The mobilization lever. For groups that may, have different ideas on what the priorities ought to be. And from all of this, you get a level of innovation. Innovation isn't just about R&D, right? It isn't just about the next product. It's about innovating, and implementing something like Agile into an organization is an innovation process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve Jobs calls it getting the job done.
That's right. That's what it comes down to.
Right.
Well, I think you both, I love all of these examples, and I also love the way what I just heard was a great dovetailing or integrating of the flow of the Agile marketing method and how it is used to produce marketing agility within a team, which is great. But these are great examples of how it works. But where do companies miss when they try to adopt, say, an Agile marketing method? Where did they go
wrong? Well, there's a long list. I think I'll just give a few because I know Gary probably have way more because his is more out in the field and I'm more in looking at a few as we educate students on how to prevent failures. But I think the biggest thing is they fail to have a process for what it is they're trying to do and a strategy. You need to have measurements, and they sometimes forget that. And they need a governance model for the Agile practice. And they also have to have an end-to-end view, not just this is how we'll run a campaign, or we'll do it for this silo or that silo. They have to have an end-to-end view from the idea all the way out to getting it to be a product that the customer can actually consume in one form or another. And they forget to foster the alignment and collaboration. And the biggest thing, they attempt to do too much at once. That I think are some of the big elements when they miss the mark.
Yeah, those are all really good. One of the things that happens with Agile is it can be used in a siloed way. if you're a siloed organization, you start using your tools, in a siloed way. And there is danger with Agile because, people see it, as a magic bullet. Right, just like when they buy a piece of marketing technology or something else, it's going to solve all their problems. And you try to apply it to everything, and it's right tool, right job, right time, and right people. Not every organization is going to work really well with Agile. Depending on the type of people that you have in the organization, what their business goals are, and so on. Or maybe they may work better, but maybe they're just not ready for it yet. And you can't force something on an organization that isn't ready for it. Rewards alignment is a big one also. It doesn't matter what the Agile group is doing if the rewards, are one thing, for the people on the brand side and another thing for the people in the sales organization entirely. We see that often. We see situations where, the marketers are getting rewarded for bringing in impressions, And the sales guys obviously are looking for, sales qualified leads that can be turned into sales. There's a big gap there. We saw that at LexisNexis U.S. Legal Markets, and it was it's a very hard thing, hurdle. If you don't have the rewards alignment, I even see that challenge at Renaissance right now, from the standpoint that they are using the Agile methodology in their solutions development team in engineering, where Agile has been, for quite some time compared to marketing. But there are certain things that the engineers love to do, and there are certain things like application notes and other types of documentation they don't like to do quite as much. And the reward systems aren't set up right to make sure that they get those things done. So we have a bunch of application notes that the regions have been asking for quite a while that still aren't there, and it affects the total customer experience.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys very much for sharing your insights. This has been a great podcast, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Helen.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Cheryl. And thank you, Gary.
Bye. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Join us on a regular basis for more solutions to customer value performance momentum. Please visit clearaction.com and arrange a demo for your team to see how the ClearAction Value Exchange is a game changer in job satisfaction and strategic impact.